Hello and welcome to Ascent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages across the world. I'm Harita and this is my first show of Ascent of Women and I'm very glad to join with you all. Today we are going to listen about the voices, struggles and rising power in current affairs edition of South Indian Women. As someone from South India, I want to take you through realities, the stories and voices of women from my part of the world, voices that are powerful yet often unheard. We will explore women in politics and leadership, education and economic independence, safety, digital influence and social change, and the everyday strength of South Indian women. This is not just a story of struggle, it's a story of resistance, resilience and rising power. You are listening to Ascent of Women, produced in the studios of 3CR in Fitzroy, Victoria, and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. Please be aware that today's episode includes discussion of violence against women and rape, which may be distressing to some listeners. Now let's begin with leadership. In recent years, South India has seen strong female representation in politics and governance. Women leaders from states like Tamil Nadu, Kerala and Telangana are shaping policies in education, healthcare and welfare. One major trend is women-focused schemes, such as free bus travel for women, financial support schemes for girls' education, entrepreneurship grants. Like Kalinge Magalir Urimai Togai Rs. 1000 monthly, Purimai Pen Thittam like higher education support, free bus travel as I said, and marriage assistance schemes. The schemes like Kalinge Magalir Urimai Togai Thittam, Purimai Pen Thittam, like Moovala Ramamirtham Ammayar Higher Education Assurance, like EVR Maniyammayar Ninaivu Marriage Assistance Scheme, Annai Teresa Ninaivu Marriage Assistance Scheme, Dr. Muthulakshmi Reddy Ninaivu Intercaste Marriage Assistance Scheme, Moovala Ramamirtham Ammayar Ninaivu Marriage Assistance Scheme, Amma Two Wheeler Scheme, Satyavanimuthu Ammayar Ninaivu Free Sewing Machine Scheme, Working Women's Hostel, Widows and Destitute Women Welfare Board, Government Service Home, Women Entrepreneur Empowerment Scheme. These are not just policies, they are tools of empowerment. But here's the deeper question. Are women leading or are they still fighting to be heard within leadership spaces? Even today, many women leaders face gender bias, media scrutiny, personal attacks, yet they continue to rise. Then comes the education. Education has always been the backbone of empowerment. South India is often ahead in literacy rates, especially Kerala, which has one of the highest female literacy rates in India. But there's the reality. Education does not always translate into independence. Many women still face pressure to marry early, limited career choices, wage gaps, family restrictions. However, things are changing. Today, South Indian women are entering IT industries, finance, startups, government sectors, and most importantly, they are becoming financially independent. As an international student, myself, I connect deeply with this because education is not just a degree, it's a freedom. So now let's talk about something very current, that is social media. Today, South Indian women are using platforms like Instagram, YouTube and podcasts to share their stories, talk about mental health, break cultural taboos, build businesses. We now see female content creators discussing feminism, women speaking openly about relationships, influencers challenging beauty standards, but with visibility comes risk. Women online still face cyber harassment, body shaming, moral policing, yet despite this, they still continue to speak. And that is power. We cannot talk about women without addressing safety. Recent discussions in India have once again highlighted concerns around women's safety in public spaces, workplace harassment, domestic violence. Movements like Me Too India, women's protest movements, have shown that women are no longer silent. But the issue is not just violence, it's the system that allows it. In many South Indian households, women are still expected to stay quiet, adjust, prioritize family over themselves. But today's generation is questioning this. They are asking, why not equality? Why not respect? In this place, I just want to briefly mention something that sparked outbreak in India. In 2021, during a legislative assembly session, a senior political leader made an extremely insensitive remark comparing a situation to sexual violence, suggesting that when something is unavoidable, one should just accept it. This comment was widely condemned across the country, especially by women, because it reflects a deeper issue in society, the normalization and trivialization of violence against women. This is exactly why conversations like this matter, because language matters, leadership matters, and how society talks about women shapes how women are treated. This wasn't just a statement, it was a reflection of a mindset. Several significant sexual assault cases and verdicts have occurred in South India, with recent reports highlighting cases in Kerala, Tamil Nadu and Karnataka between 2024 and 2025. Some of them are Kerala mass abuse case in 2025. A Dalit teenager in Kerala alleged she was raped over a 5-year period by approximately 60 people, including classmates, neighbors and relatives. The case reported in January 2025 involved allegations of human trafficking and has led to an investigation with maximum manpower assigned by local police. Karnataka Prajwal Revana case in 2025. Former Indian MP Prajwal Revana was sentenced to life in prison in August 2025 by a court in Karnataka after being found guilty of raping a domestic staff member. The case, which emerged in 2023, involved thousands of videos of sexual abuse. Karnataka Hampi gang rape 2025. In March 2025, an Israel tourist and an Indian woman were gang raped near the Hampi World Heritage Site. The attackers also threw a male companion into a river canal, resulting in his death. In Tamil Nadu, Pollachi sexual assault case verdict in 2025. On May 13, 2025, a special court in Coimbatore found 9 individuals guilty in the 2019 Pollachi sexual assault case, where women were lewd, assaulted and blackmailed. The accused were sentenced to life imprisonment. Kerala actor Dilip acquittal 2025. In December 2025, a Kerala court acquitted actor Dilip in the 2017 case involving the abduction and rape of a leading actress. While others were convicted, the court cleared him of criminal conspiracy. Reports indicate that reported child sexual abuse cases in Kerala surged to 4,663 in 2023, up from 1,002 in 2013. Additionally, while some states in South India have historically reported lower per capita rape rates compared to others, severe cases have continued to drive major public outcry and legal action, such as the 2019 Hyderabad case, which resulted in a custodial killing of the suspects in a staged encounter. When we talk about women's safety, these are not just statistics, these are real lives, real pain and real stories. Just the cases are different, but they are connected. They show us patterns, abuse of power, silence forced on victims, delayed justice and a society that often questions the survivor instead of the crime. And sometimes even those in leadership positions use language that trivialize violence, reflecting how deeply rooted this mindset still is. This is not just about crime, this is about culture, this is our accountability. At the same time, there is another side we must acknowledge. women are speaking up more than ever before. Movements, protests, and public outrage have led to faster investigations, stronger laws, greater awareness. Data shows an increase in reported cases, and while that is alarming, it also tells us something important. Women are no longer staying silent. But reporting is only the first step. What comes next matters even more: justice, support systems, social change. Because justice is delayed is not justice denied alone, it is trust denied. We must also ask ourselves difficult questions. Are we creating safe environments? Are we listening to survivors? Are we teaching respect or just control? And most importantly, are we changing or just reacting? South Indian women today are not just victims in these stories. They are survivors, fighters, and voices of change. They are breaking silence. They are demanding justice. They are rewriting narratives. And maybe the real change will begin when society stops asking women to be careful and start teaching the world to be respectful. So in this case, as a woman from South India, I just want to convey you all what the situation there is happening if any female or the woman or the girl child faces these situations. As a girl, when I was in my country before coming to Australia, even I have faced a lot of like harassment things and women teasing and body shaming things. So in all these situations, what I noted is when a woman faces all these issues and problems in the society, when she wanted to convey these things to their parents or friends or someone, the elders usually what they used to say is always ask us to be careful, stay careful, and asking them why did you go there in this time, why did you do this thing, and just blaming all the things on the women. So this is what I have noted in my country and all the elders what they do wrong. The thing is, to stop all these physical assaulting and the harassment, the sexual abusal cases, the one thing everyone want to do is, from my point of view, every parents not just teaching their girl children like what is the good touch and bad touch, they just want to teach their boy children like don't touch any girls anymore. If this situation starts, then everything will be alright, I guess. And the thing is, if the punishment is harder, there will be no mistakes anymore. So if the constitution gives harder punishments like death penalty to these cases, then the case, the problems, the issues, the assaultments, the harassments, all these will be reduced, I guess. Because when society starts treating violence as something to be joked about, ignored, or just adjusted to, that is when the problem becomes deeper than the crime itself. But there is something else we are witnessing today. Women are no longer accepting silence as their only option. From survivors speaking up, to protest, to public outrage, to legal action, there is a shift happening, and that shift is powerful. Because every time a woman speaks, every time a case reaches court, every time society is forced to listen, change begins, even if slowly. But awareness alone is not enough. Accountability, we need education and a change in mindset. Because safety is not just about laws, it's about how people think, speak, and act every single day. And maybe the most important question we should all ask is, are we creating a world where women feel safe, or are we asking women to keep adjusting to an unsafe world? Because the responsibility should not be on women to protect themselves from harm, but on society to prevent that harm from existing. And until that changes, these stories will keep repeating. But today, By speaking about it, by acknowledging it, by refusing to ignore it, we take one step forward.
If the content in the segment you just listened to has raised questions or caused distress to you, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or visit lifeline.org.eu.
You are listening to Ascent of Women, produced in the studios of Tresia in Fitzroy, Victoria, and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. Then comes the culture versus modern identity problem. One of the biggest struggles of South Indian women today is balancing culture and modern life. You'll hear things like, don't wear this, don't go out late, what will people say? But at the same time, these women are studying abroad, working globally, living independently. So the real question becomes, can culture evolve? Because culture should not limit women, it should support them. And many women today are redefining what it means to be traditional and modern at the same time, including me. As someone from South India, I've seen both sides, the restrictions and the strength. I've seen women who sacrifice everything and women who fight for everything. And today, I stand here as a voice, not just for myself, but for many women who are still unheard. This program is important because stories matter, voices matter, women matter. To all women listening today, your voice is powerful. Whether you speak loudly or silently, your existence itself is resistance. Let's take a moment to shift our focus. We have spoken about challenges, systems and realities, but there is another side to this story, a side that doesn't always make headlines. It's a story of everyday strength. The woman who wakes up early, manages a home, goes to work and still finds the energy to care for everyone around her. The student who moves to a new country, carries the weight of expectations and still keeps going. The daughter who silently supports her family, the mother who sacrifices her without recognition, the young girl who dares to dream differently. Like I can personally connect here. These stories may not go viral, but they are powerful. In South India, strength doesn't always look loud. Sometimes it looks like patience, sometimes it looks like sacrifice, and sometimes it looks like starting over. Thinking about women in small towns, running small businesses, supporting families financially, educating their children despite struggles, or women working in cities, balancing jobs and responsibilities, living independently, building careers in competitive environments. Like my grandmother, I think she is 69 years old today. For the past 10 years, she is making dosa batters and selling in shops nearby. She is an entrepreneur, according to her, because she always uses to buy the raw materials and make the batters and sell it to different shops. Still, it's a small business, but her happiness and her independence, her freedom, still stays different. And another grandmother, she is running a small business, like she is having a restaurant called Mess in India. Like she is doing and controlling and managing, regulating the whole business by her own. In fact, she is a widow, and even in that situation, she used to manage everything perfectly, making other women, as she is the motivation to all. Or women working in cities, balancing jobs and responsibilities, living independently, building careers in competitive environments. And the best part, many of them don't even call it strength. They just call it life. For a long time, success for women was defined very narrowly. It was about marriage, family, stability. But today, the definition is expanding. Success can now mean financial independence, personal happiness, mental peace, freedom of choice. And importantly, women are choosing what success means to them. And that is a quiet revolution, because when women define their own lives, they are no longer limited by society's expectations. One of the most beautiful changes we are seeing today is women supporting other women. Whether it's friends supporting each other, women-led communities, women spaces, encouraging growth. There is a growing sense of sisterhood, and that matters because change becomes stronger when it's shared. No woman should feel like she has to fight alone, and slowly that is changing. So today, let's take a moment and just to reflect on struggles but to recognize strength. The strength in small connections, the strength in everyday life, the strength that often goes unnoticed. Because empowerment is not always loud. Sometimes it's quiet, consistent, and deeply personal. As we come towards the end of today's program, I want you to take a moment and think about everything we have spoken about. The stories, the struggles, the strength, and the voices of women from South India and beyond. Because these are not just topics for discussion, these are realities people live every single day. We spoke about systems, we spoke about challenges, we spoke about change, but at the center of all of these is one simple truth. Women are not weak, women are not silent, and women are not definitely not invisible. They are leaders, they are survivors, they are creators, and they are change makers. And sometimes, they are all of this at once, even when no one notices. To every woman listening today, if you are ever felt unheard, if you are ever felt underestimated, if you are ever felt like your voice didn't matter, it does. And even if the world doesn't always listen, your voice still carries power. Because change doesn't always start with a crowd. It starts with one person deciding not to stay silent anymore. And maybe today, this conversation, this space is a reminder of that. That every story matters, every experience matters, every woman matters. And as we move forward, let's not just talk about change, let's become part of it by listening, by supporting, and by standing together. Because when women rise, society rises with them. Right now, Tamil Nadu is in one of its most important political moments, the 2026 Assembly elections. The entire state is voting to decide its next chief minister and government. This election, covering all 234 constituencies, will shape the future of Tamil Nadu for the next 5 years. But beyond politics, beyond parties, there is a deeper question we need to ask today. What does this election mean for women? One of the most powerful things about democracy is this. Every vote has single equal value. And in Tamil Nadu, women voters are not just participants, they are decisive forces. Governments know this, that's why many policies today are directly focused on women. For example, recent initiatives have included financial support schemes, welfare programs targeting women, education and skill development opportunities. In fact, ahead of elections, financial benefits were directly credited to millions of women under welfare schemes. This shows one thing clearly, women are not just voters, they are central of political strategy. But here's where it becomes complex. While women are a major voting force, are they equally represented in power? Across India and even in Tamil Nadu, women are still underrepresented in political leadership. And recently, even a major national bill to increase women's representation in parliament failed to pass, showing how difficult structural change still is. So the question means, are women influencing politics or truly shaping it? This election is also different because of young voters. Nearly 1 in 5 voters in Tamil Nadu are between 18 and 29 years old. And among them, young women are playing a huge role. They are more aware, more vocal, and more willing to question leadership. We are also seeing new political influences from cinema, social media, and youth movements changing how elections are fought. This is not just traditional politics anymore, this is evolving politics. So when we look at this election, it is not just about who becomes chief minister, it's about whose voices are heard, whose issues are prioritized, and whose future is being shaped. And women are at the center of all of this. Not just as voters, but as individuals demanding safety, equality, and opportunity. Because of the true success of any government is not just in winning elections, but in how it treats its women. And that's all we have got time for today. In today's program, we just heard powerful stories and perspectives on the realities, challenges, and strength of women in South India. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Associations of Australia. Music of Accent of Women was written and produced by George Conjeri. You want to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to the week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write us at accentofwomen.gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. This is Harita on Accent of Women, bringing your voices that deserve to be heard. And we look forward for your company again next week. Tata, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.